It's great to see so many of you here today. If you're joining us for the first time, let me just explain that on Sunday mornings, we've been working through the book in the Old Testament called Ezra. And we've been learning lots, haven't we, boys and girls, from the book of Ezra. And one of the big things we've been learning is that the book of Ezra is all about God's kindness in moving people from ruins to... A few of you remember, right? God's kindness in moving us from ruins to... Fantastic. Sorry, I thought it was on the other way. Now, if you remember, right at the start in Ezra, okay, God's people have been sent to a place called Babylon, okay? And they're here because they didn't listen to God's word, because they were unfaithful to him. So God punished them by moving them from their home in Jerusalem to captivity in Babylon. And they were there for a long time because they didn't listen to God. But God, in his kindness, he had made a promise to them even before they'd gone all the way to Babylon. And he promised that after 70 years, he was going to restore them. He was going to bring them back from this place of captivity and bring them back home. And that's exactly what God did. Because he moved the heart of a king called Cyrus. And King Cyrus let these captives go, those that were imprisoned, as it were. And he released them. And so they made their journey all the way back to Jerusalem. Now, when they got there, they had to rebuild something. Can anyone remember what they had to build? Go on, shout it out. The temple, fantastic. They had to rebuild the temple because when they got there, the temple had been destroyed too. So the people got rebuilding and they were building their building. And eventually, after a long time of opposition and other things, eventually they got to rebuild the temple. Now, how do you think they felt once they'd rebuilt the temple? How do you think they felt? Can you show me on your face how you think they would have felt? Very good. Armel's got a very big smile on his face. They were rejoicing. They were over the moon because the temple was the place where they could meet with God. The temple was, as it were, the access point to have a conversation with God. One they had longed for when they were in captivity in Babylon. They'd been brought back here. They rebuilt the temple and they could have access to God. They could speak with him once more. And as we've been seeing this on Sunday mornings, the really cool thing is that we've been learning that God still works in this way. He's still bringing people from ruins to repair. And God does that through his son, the Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus is our temple. By his death on the cross, he has defeated sin and restored our broken relationship with God so that we can have access to him. So we can come near to him and say, thank you for forgiving my sins. And so having heard all that, having learned all that on Sunday mornings, you might be thinking, well, is that the end? You know, Ezra, all the people have come back here, they've built the temple, they have access with God. Is that the end of the story? Well, it's not. We've still got lots that Ezra needs to teach us. And actually, we haven't even met Ezra yet, but we do today. So we're going to get our Bibles open. If you need a Bible, then please just put your hands in the air and a steward will come and bring you one. My wife needs one, that'd be good. Sorry. We're in chapter 7. Let me put it back on the screen. Verses 1 to 10. It's on page 478. And just while you're turning there, it's worth saying that from what we learned last week with the joy of the temple and remembering the relationship that they had and restored with God, there's been 60 years between then and what we're going to read now. And just because it's really interesting, the book of Esther happens between those 60 years. But we're going to read from Ezra and verse 1 of chapter 7. Boys and girls, it's on the screen. After these things, during the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalem, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Marioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzi, the son of Bucky, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher well-versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. Some of the Israelites, including priests, Levites, musicians, gatekeepers, and temple servants, also came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Now, this is God's word to us this morning. Fantastic, brilliant. Go and take a seat for me. And just as we turn back to what we've just read, I'm going to pray for us. So let's all pray. If it helps, put your hands together, close your eyes, and let me pray for us. Father in heaven, please, would you speak to us this morning through your word, and please help us to listen and to obey what you teach us. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, on Wednesday, just gone, I went to a really, really exciting place. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, okay? I went to, on Wednesday, with my family, to Legoland. Who's been to Legoland? Okay, good number. Fantastic. So if you haven't, once you've saved up for a couple of years, it's really worth going. But anyway, we got there. I was really excited. The sun was out. We got in the queue, gave the lady our tickets. We walked into the park. I looked up, and then I stopped. And I looked around and saw all the people going in, mainly those skipping school, my dad. But I went in and saw. And then I got thinking, where should I go first? What should be the first thing I do? What rides can I go on? Or more importantly, what rides can Eleanor go on, because that's why we went? Where should we go first? We needed a guide. We needed someone who knew their way around Legoland, or knew Legoland well. We needed to speak to someone who could direct us to the best places to go, the rides that I shouldn't go on, the rides that I could. And so I went back and I spoke to the lady who gave us access to the site. And she gave me a map and she told me the best places to go. Now come back with me to this temple here. You see, God's people have been rescued and restored. They've been brought back from captivity and slavery in another land and brought back to the place where they could meet and have access to God. But what now? What should they do? Where should they go? What could they do? What shouldn't they do? As those who'd been given new life, what was this new ongoing life with God going to look like? Well, here's the big point for this morning, okay? Here's the big point. And it's so big that it comes with three bits of paper, all right? So here we go. The first one. It says, ongoing life with God needs a word worker, okay? So let's say it all together first of all, and then I'll give you some actions to help you remember this. All right, so do one, two, three. Ongoing life with God needs a word worker. Okay, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to go ongoing. Can you do that? Ongoing. Life. I don't know why that symbolizes life, but it's going to symbolize life. With God needs a word worker. Okay, let's do that all together. Ready? One, two, three. Ongoing life with God needs a word worker. Now, this isn't supposed to be vicious, but hopefully help you remember, okay? Word worker. See, ongoing life with God needs a word worker, someone who knows God's word, someone who lives God's word and can teach it to others. You see, just like at Legoland, when I went, I need someone to direct me to the place to go. So God's people needed a word worker to teach and to guide them after being brought back from a foreign land and to teach them how to live. And for God's restored people at this time, in this time, God graciously sent them a word worker. Now, can anyone have a guess as to who this word worker is? If I give you a clue, it's the name of the book. Go on. It is Ezra, and he probably looked something like this. We're not completely sure, but possibly something like this. Now, God sent them Ezra. Now, as I read the passage earlier, you may have noticed some things that we're told about Ezra, because he wasn't just some random guy that God sent. He was someone that God specifically chose to go and be the word worker that they needed. And the first thing we learn, okay, is that he's from a special family line. And just because I've been practicing that list of names all week, I'm going to read them again, all right? I'm going to read them again. I'm not showing off. Oh, there's purpose here. I'm going to read them again. And what I want you to do is every time I say someone's name, I want you to say, who? Okay, can you do that? Let's have a practice. I'm going to say someone's name. You're going to say that. Ready? Azariah. And you've got to really look confused, okay? Who? Let's have another practice. Hilkiah. Fantastic. We're going to keep doing that until you hear me say the words chief priest. When I say the words chief priest, you're going to go, oh, okay? Let's have a practice of that. Chief priest. Oh. Fantastic. Here we go. I'm going to say the list. Ezra, son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Marioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzi, the son of Bucky, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra, that's him. That's him from this line, from the line of Aaron, the chief priest. You see, as you hear the words chief priest, we're being reminded that he's from this special line of priests. And Aaron was the chief priest. And so this guy here, Ezra, was the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Aaron, the chief priest, who was the brother of Moses. And the priest's job, they had a big responsibility in the temple. They were the one who mediated or spoke on behalf of God to the people and of the people to God. They were the ones who sacrificed sins on the people, sacrificed animals on the people's behalf. But he wasn't just a priest. We're told seven times in chapter 7, I know we didn't read all of it, we're told seven times that he knew and loved God's word. See, just look at this verse with me, okay? So it's this Ezra, the descendant, the great-great-great-grandson of Aaron, this Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher, well-versed, means he knew it really well, well-versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. It meant that he knew God's word really well, which at this time in Israel's history is exactly what they needed. They needed a word worker, okay? Let's do this again. Make sure you're on your toes. So what are we learning? Ongoing life with God needs a word worker. And this man was Ezra that God sent. And Ezra certainly knew God's word, okay? This is what it says in verse 10. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and to teaching its decrees. He was a man who studied God's word. He was a man who observed God's word, and he was a man who taught God's word. And we're going to think about just these words for a minute that we're given. So let's first of all think of study, okay? I'm confident that everyone here has studied for something. So put your hand up if over the last couple of weeks or months you've studied for an exam, whether that's like a music exam or SATs at school or maybe a test to get into a job or something like that. Yeah, a few right up the back of the balcony. Okay, we all know what it is to study. Perhaps it wasn't a test. Maybe you were studying some instructions because you had a new game that you wanted to learn how to play. Or perhaps you were studying a map to see where you needed to go. That probably wasn't any of the blokes here. But this helps us a little bit. This word study helps us to think a little bit about the word worker that God's people needed. You see, he wasn't just a man that liked reading books. His passion was God's word. We're told he was devoted to it. He loved it. And he studied it because he wanted to know God. He wanted to know what pleased God and what didn't. It's as if you got his magnifying glass out. Can you get your magnifying glasses out? Get them out of your pocket. That's it. Pretend this is the Bible. That's what he was doing. He was studying in depth. He wanted to know every word. He wanted to breathe it in. He wanted to know what God's word said and what it meant. But he didn't just study it. He didn't just read it and think, oh, that's really nice. I really like what I'm looking at. No, we're told that he observed God's word as well. Now, observe can just mean watch. Do you think that's what it means here? Do you think Ezra just watched God's word? Like this? Do you think that's what he did? No, he didn't. Observe can mean watch, but here what it means is that he did it. So he didn't just look at what God's word said, he then put it into practice. He wanted to live it out every day. See, hands up this week if you've, if someone at home perhaps has asked you this week to do something. Okay, hands up if someone at home has asked you to do something. It's more of the adults at the moment. So perhaps someone's told you to go and tidy your room or to go and do your homework, which would be a bit mean at this time of year, got to be honest. Or perhaps someone's told you to come down for dinner. Okay, so we've all had those kind of requests. Now put your hand back up if you then did it. I'm looking at the parent adults' faces to see if this is true. Okay, good. We've got some Ezras here this morning. That's exactly what Ezra did. He listened to what God said, and then he did it. He went and did it. See, studying God's word led Ezra to obeying God's word. Now, who can remember the last thing? It's on the screen. So Ezra devoted himself to studying, to observing what God said, and then there was one other. Who can remember? Go on. Yeah. Teach. He then devoted himself to teaching it. You see, the first two things led to the last one. So studying God's word, doing what it said, led to him wanting to teach others how to live for God too. Okay, and just to cement this in our brain, I want to just show you something, okay? So if this is Ezra, all right, here's Ezra. Say hello, Ezra. And this is God's word, okay? And what Ezra would do, he would study, he would soak himself up in God's word. He would soak up, and then he would put it into practice. And then what would he do? He would go and teach. He'd go and teach over there. He'd teach over there a little bit. He'd even teach down here. The only place he wouldn't teach is in the balcony because he can't reach that far. But he would go and teach. So he would study, he'd soak himself up in God's word, observe it, and then teach. Sorry, if it was hotter, it might have been more appreciated this morning. But that's what he did. That's what Ezra loved to do. And as rescue people of God, those who'd been saved from captivity in Babylon, brought home to Jerusalem, they had access to God through the temple. But how were they going to live lives ongoing that pleased God? Well, can you see? What is it they needed? Well, let's say this again together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Ongoing life with God needs a word worker. And God provided Ezra, who was able to model to them and to teach them what it was to live as the people of God. See, God provided a word worker who would remind them of all that God had done. A word worker who would teach them God's word and encourage them to obey it. A word worker who would model living out God's word to the people. That's what he did. He graciously did that. So isn't God kind? He didn't just rescue them from the land, bring them back into relationship and say, see you later, off you go. No, he sent someone to teach them how to live. Now, hopefully you're starting to draw the dots here, okay? You see, wouldn't it be great if we had an Ezra today? Would that be great? Okay, good. Five people think it'd be great. That's good. It'd be great if someone who studied God's word lived it out and taught it to others. Now, before I say any more, at this point, I'm not talking about me or Nathan or Glenn, though we will come on to that because there's some truth in that. But as we stand back at the whole of the Bible story and gaze on this greater ruins repair story that the Bible tells, who is the word worker we need? Who is the one that, like Ezra, knew, studied God's word, observed God's word, and taught others? Well, the answer the Bible gives, the answer the whole Bible points to, is Jesus. See, Jesus is to the church what Ezra was to the Israelites at this time. You see, just as Ezra was a priest, so Jesus is described as the great high priest, the one who not only died on the cross to restore our relationship, bring us back to him, but who also rose again and mediates, speaks on our behalf to God, his Father, to bring us close to him. But just like Ezra was from that long list of names that I read earlier, that special family line, so was Jesus. His great-great-great-grandfather was King David, to whom God said, in your line, one of your great-great-grandsons is going to be a king whose kingdom will never end. Just like Ezra, Jesus studied, observed, and taught the scriptures. We're told that Jesus, when he was 12, and at other times, went to the temple and listened and asked and answered questions. He loved God's word. And we're told again and again in the gospel accounts that all who listened to Jesus were amazed at his words. But not only that, not only did Jesus know God's word, he was the one who's the only one who's ever lived, who perfectly lived it out, who knew it and then put it into practice. And he's the one who constantly taught from scriptures. And he pointed to himself as the one we all need to come to, both for access to God, but also for ongoing life with God, for access to forgiveness and life, and for help in our ongoing life with God. So we do have an Ezra today, and his name is Jesus. So what's our big point? Ready? One, two, three. Ongoing life with God needs a word worker. And our word worker is Jesus. Now, earlier you may have been thinking, well, isn't that what you do, Tim, and Nathan, and Glenn, and others in the church, like your leaders and treasure hunters? Well, there's truth in that. So we read in Ephesians that Jesus gives to his church pastors and teachers, those who are to teach others and to equip the church for works of service, to build them up in their faith. And so there are implications for those who teach God's word, whether up front here or in Treasure Hunters. So kids and everyone else, will we pray for all those that teach the Bible? Will you pray for your Treasure Hunter leaders? Can you do that for me? Because they need your help. Just like Ezra, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. Only Jesus is. And so he's the word worker we need. And he's the word worker teachers will point to. So here's our big point. Ready? One, two, three. Let's say it together. One, two, three. Ongoing life with God needs a word worker. So if that's our big point, okay, what are we supposed to do with that? Okay, Jesus, our word worker. What are we supposed to do? Well, here's the next thing we're going to learn. And it's only got two bits, but it's still important. So ongoing life with God needs a word worker. So, very simply, so listen to the word worker. All right, we're going to do this for these actions. We're going to go, so listen to the word worker. Let's just do this part. You ready? Here we go. So listen to the word worker. Now let's put all of it in practice. Ready? Here we go. Ongoing life with God needs a word worker. So listen to the word worker. Come back with me to Legoland, and not literally, wouldn't be able to afford that, but literally, yeah, come back and picture the scene, okay? I'm standing there, I'm looking out, wondering which way to go. I go back, speak to the lady about which way to go, and she directs me here and there. It'd be a little bit strange, wouldn't it? Could you imagine if she said, oh, just go down there, turn left, that's where you need to go, okay? And then I say, oh, that's brilliant, down there and left, brilliant, okay, see you later. And then I go this way. That'd be a bit strange, wouldn't it? Do you think that would be a little bit strange? If she said, go down there, and I ended up going in the opposite direction. You see, as those who have been restored, those who have come to Jesus for forgiveness and access to God, it would be strange if, having received this, that we then don't listen to Jesus, the word worker. When we do that, it's a little bit like saying to Jesus, well, thank you for dying on the cross for me. That's really great. Thank you for forgiving my sins. But I'll take it from here, Jesus. I'll go my own way now. You see, it'd be wrong to think that we can ask God for forgiveness and new life and then just go and do what we want and live our own way. We need to listen to the word worker. See, again, the people in Ezra's day who had been brought back from slavery and reintroduced to the temple and had access to God, they were to follow his example. They were called to be obedient to God's word and to do what pleased him. And you fast forward to today, and it's still true for us. We are to listen to the word worker that God has provided in Jesus. We are to soak ourselves in God's word and aim to live lives that please him. Not because that saves you. Only Jesus can do that. But as saved people, we are called to listen to the word worker through his living and active word. And the privilege of those who are trusting in Jesus today is that Jesus not only has modeled that for us, but he gives us his Holy Spirit to enable us to understand what he says, but also the power to live it out. So even if you look at the verse behind me, which is the verse for the year, can you look up here, over there? This is what we've had on the walls all year. So let me read it. All authority, Jesus says, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. As it were, bring them back from captivity. Bring them back to me, to God through me. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So good teachers will point to Jesus. He's the one, his words are the ones we need to listen to. Here we go. We're going to do it one more time. Let's say what we've been learning together, because I want you to really remember this, okay, as you go in through the rest of today and this week. So let's say all together one last time. Ongoing life with God needs a word worker. So listen to the word worker. Just a few questions to think about as I finish. Have you received this life with God? Have you asked him to restore you from being in captivity, as it were, in slavery to sin, and brought back to a relationship with him? See, the Bible says that this is only possible through Jesus. And this comes first before starting to try and live his way. But for those who are already trusting in Jesus, are you listening to him? And are you growing day by day in your obedience to him? Now let's just take a minute. You can close your eyes if that helps. Just take a minute and think about what we've learned. And then after a short time, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what we've just looked at together. We thank you that you are the one who loves to save your people. But thank you that you don't just save us through Jesus' death on the cross, but that you call us to live for you, to grow day by day in our knowledge of you. We thank you that you've sent Jesus, the word worker, to enable us to do that. So, Father, please help us to trust in Jesus, the word worker, and to not only listen to what he teaches us, but to do what he says. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.